Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Last Thursday, a teacher at Parkside Elementary School in Collier County, Florida, was removed from the classroom because of a Facebook post that she made where she positively supported President Trump's immigration policies last week during that Thursday, which was termed Day Without Immigrants Thursday, when at which point there in that school and many places across the country, students stayed home from school and employees at many, many private businesses stayed home from work. And I'm going to read the quote that this lady made in just a moment as we focus today's program on education. And we're going to deal with such key questions as this: whose responsibility is the education of children? What is the purpose and the goal for education? And what did our founders think about that goal and that purpose? And what does the Bible say about education? We're going to discuss these very pertinent questions today on Stand in the Gap Today. And with that, I am Sam Rohr, and I'm going to welcome you to today's program. We'll be joined by Gary Dahl. David Kistler happens to be overseas for a little while doing work in Britain, UK, and some other places. So we're going to be handling this today, the two of us without him. But we're going to be welcome today and joined by a special guest to Stand in a Gap Today, Dr. Steve Pettit. He is the president of Bob Jones University, a 90-year-old Christian university located in Greenville, South Carolina. And he'll be helping us as we walk through these matters of education from someone who is actually presiding over a very long-enduring academic educational institution. Gary, let me go ahead and read now a little bit from this article just to set this up, because I'm going to go to you with a question about whether or not you think this woman's response was appropriate. But this I'm reading from the article here. It says, an elementary school teacher in Collier County, Florida, which is in Naples area, was reassigned to administrative duties over a Facebook post during the Day Without Immigrants protest last Thursday. Parkside Elementary School computer lab instructor Veronica Fleming linked to a Chicago Tribune story about the nationwide protest, and she offered her take on the situation. Now, this is what she said. She said this, quote, again, linking to this Chicago Tribune article. She said, quote, the funny part about immigrants staying home is that the rest of us who pay for them here or have to work didn't come to work like we've always been coming to work. Looks like less mouths to feed today. Have fun while you still can. So glad to hear about massive deportation. Let's make America great again. Thanks, Donald Trump. Well, you know, Gary, the administrators did not take kindly to that comment. And I want to ask you, first of all, the first question I have for you is, from a constitutional perspective, did this teacher in the classroom, actually a computer lab instructor, did she have the right to post her response in a link to an article appearing in the Chicago Tribune?
Yes.
Well, that's a good straightforward answer.
Yes, actually she did. You know, she has the freedom of speech under the First Amendment, and that's exactly what she was doing. And you know what really interested me in this particular letter is that one of the students' parents, by the name of Gabriela Marquez, I guess you would say, said, I was mad, really, really mad. These are little kids. What is she teaching them? And, you know, my response to that question is that Mrs. Fleming was basically teaching them constitutional freedom of speech, as well, by the way, as personal responsibility. Because in the first part of her statement, she says the funny part about immigrants staying home is the rest of us who pay for them are here at work. And so I think that Mrs. Fleming was actually doing the one who was teaching values, using her constitutional freedom to be able to do that. And the administrator of the school administration, whatever, you know, they were the ones who were in the wrong from my perspective. But Sam, from an educational perspective, an activist group from change.org submitted a petition to the school officials seeking to fire this lady, saying, and I quote, "One should always be professional and behave as an impartial authority figure that is held to a higher standard," end quote. Now, I ask you, what do you think about that statement?
Well, Gary, I find it very interesting because a couple of things. One, this organization, change.org, I looked them up. They have 300 employees across the country. They are involved in professionally putting together petitions for various organizations. All of them that I saw are very leftist oriented. They're tied together with a whole host of things, and people hire them to come on board for things like this and make an issue about something when it occurs, and they quickly get a bunch of people. There were 3,000 signatures here. And they have people lined up that as soon as they send out the notice, they just pile on board. They're kind of like professional petition signers. And they mm-hmm. jump on board, and then it makes it look like there's a great big following regarding it. But in fact, it really is not. These are professional agitator, professional petition folks. Now, when I looked at this, Gary, further, I thought, you know what? Isn't it interesting who comes to bat for something like this? And they charged this lady with being, as this one woman, the mother you said, charged her with saying this was a racist comment.
Sad.
Well, Gary, I don't know about you, but to say that immigrants, students, staying home, which they did, and many schools were almost closed. Chicago, a lot of the schools were almost closed because so many immigrants were there. When I say immigrants, these are not necessarily people, Gary, who are in the process of becoming legal immigrants. Many, many are illegal immigrants who are being educated, paid for, which is why this woman said, "Why is it that I have to come to work when I'm paying for you? Where are you?" So, Gary, I don't have a problem with Mm-mm. what this teacher did either.
No, I don't. And, I mean, she may have hindered herself a little bit when she said, "So glad to hear about massive deportation." But, mm-hmm. you know, that still is, she still has the freedom to say that. And, of course, you know, that was her right. She said it, and she said, "Let's make America great again. Thanks, Donald Trump." So what I suspect from this, Sam, is that this particular school in Collier County, Florida, is probably anti-Trump and anti-everything and anything Donald Trump will do. And without a doubt, this is probably basically what brought this to the top of the pudding, as it were, for their perspective. Had Donald Trump's name not been mentioned, we may not be reading this today. I don't know.
Gary, really, in reality, you are true, because that's some of the rest of the story. But in this article, it talked about the teacher being an authority in the classroom. They talked about higher standards, and that really ties in well with where we're going to go in the balance of this program when we bring in Dr. Steve Pettit from Bob Jones University, as we talk about, in essence, what is the purpose, or whose responsibility, rather, is it for education? And we're going to get into the matter of standards and a number of things. So, ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to stay with us as we come back and talk about this issue of education. Whose responsibility really is it?
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
This is Shan Markell next on Understanding the Times Radio. We talk about the practicality of Islamic refugees coming to your neighborhood. What is the Christian response? Is this idea as safe as it is suggested? What is your response if Muslim immigrants choose your neighborhood? That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Join us this Saturday at 3:05 p.m. right after Fox News here on WFYL.
As Ronald Reagan once said, if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday were celebrated in the month of February throughout the United States. But in 1971, in order to honor all presidents, Richard Nixon declared the third Monday in February as President's Day. Of note is that every president swore into office with their hand upon a Bible, ended their oath with the phrase, "So help me God," and acknowledged a supreme being in their address upon assuming the presidency. Eisenhower, Reagan, and Bush are among those who included a prayer in their inaugural addresses.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, now we're going to move more specifically into the issue of education. We set up this program with this teacher from Florida being removed because she made a post on a Facebook statement. But in that argument, those who are seeking to get her removed did bring up the issue of standards and what good teaching was, and insisted that she was not doing that kind of a thing. And we thought of nobody better really to help us as we walk through the matter of education than inviting in Dr. Steve Pettit. He is the president of Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. He presides also over Bob Jones Academy. It's a K-12 academy, and the Bob Jones Seminary. So it's a full spectrum university. Steve Pettit, I'm going to call you Steve. Dr. Pettit, thanks for being on with us today on Stand in the Gap today.
Thank you, Sam, and it's a blessing to hear your voice and to be with you folks today.
Well, we're thrilled to have you on here with us, and we talk about matters of the day, things that are happening in the culture, and come at it from a biblical and constitutional perspective. And We're glad that you can participate here with us today. One of the things new that's happening is that just recently, President Trump did get confirmed his appointment to the U.S. Department of Education. And when I went to the education department's website, looking at for what they said, in fact, was the purpose for it, they said this, quote, "Education is primarily a state and local responsibility in the United States," saying about 92% of all school spending comes from non-federal sources, meaning local primarily. It says, although the federal spending is relatively small, it plays a very large role. The purpose, they're saying, was to primarily collect information from the various states to help the other states. But the department's role expanded significantly after World War II, with Congress making the Department of Education a cabinet-level position in 1980. Again, these are their words. Now, the Department of Education operates programs that touch on every area and level of education. And truly, I can say it does, as someone used to be in the Pennsylvania legislature and chaired the Basic Ed Committee, K-12, I can tell you federal government actually reaches into every aspect. But that being the case, Steve, I want to ask you this. The new Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, has said that the U.S. Department of Ed has gotten too large, invasive, and it indicates, and she's indicating that school choice as a matter of public policy is something that she wants to vigorously pursue. President Trump has agreed with her. And in her opinion, and your opinion, that is, as a president of a nearly 90-year-old Christian university with a vibrant K-12 elementary and high school academy, do you agree with Secretary DeVos on the matter of school choice, or I prefer to call it parental choice? Why or why not?
Well, absolutely, I agree. And when you consider the responsibility of who is to educate children, that's the question that you have to ask. And obviously, first and foremost, it is the responsibility of parents because they're the ones that have the children. And it is their responsibility before God that their children will grow up and they will be well-adjusted, educated children. That was the case of my growing up. I think secondly, it's the responsibility of the church because the church is commanded to instruct and to teach. And so a part of the responsibility of the church is the educational aspect. And I think thirdly, it is the responsibility of the government to have an educated populace. When we think of a liberal arts education, liberal is not from the standpoint of leftist-leaning position. It actually means liberated or free, and you can't have a free people if you don't have an educated people. So there is a responsibility from the government side of things, but first and foremost, it starts with the family and then the church.
Dr. Pettit, it's a delight to have you with us, and thank you very much for being willing to come on Stand in the Gap today. I think it's kind of sad, don't you, to see the kind of reaction Secretary DeVos has been receiving from some people across this nation. And I am wondering, Dr. Pettit, since you've already talked about the fact that the family and the civil government and the church are to be actively involved in the education of the children, how do you put the three pieces of this puzzle together? I mean, does the family, does the civil government, and does the church work independently of each other? Or should there be some kind of a way to bring them all together in the larger picture, as it were?
Well, I think first and foremost, it is a responsibility of the individual states and the system that that state has. And then I think there has to be a freedom within the government that allows both family education and church education to flourish. If they're not free to be able to do that, then you can't see that happen. So you're going to have definitely, if I could say it this way, a competitive side of just the way it works within our populace between the home and the church and the school. And the ultimate goal should be to provide the absolute best education for young people today, given in the situation where they live.
Well, Steve, I think you brought up a couple of things. You used the word that there is a role for civil government. You have talked about the church, and you've talked about the family in this regard. However, I can say that in most states, and you did call this out, and I think appropriately so, constitutionally, the federal government was never given any authority over education. It was the states, and even in like in Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, where I served, in the language in our state's law, it does say that the state has an interest in. That was the legal language, interest in, but it was not the driving overall responsibility of the state to educate, which left it back to the matter of parents. That's why when Betsy DeVos is talking about school choice or parental choice, it does, in your opinion, does that not help to perhaps realign or focus the primal responsibility of education back where it belongs, with the parents?
Oh, absolutely. And nobody cares more about the children of our country than the parents who brought them into this world. So, yes, I would absolutely agree with that.
In that regard, the federal government, I mean, when Ronald Reagan went in, Steve, he kind of made a promise that he was going to do away with the Department of Education. It wasn't successful. Matter of fact, very little changed, even under Ronald Reagan. Now, President Trump has not said he's going to eliminate it, I don't think, Gary, unless you heard something that I haven't in that regard. But he does want to diminish. He does want to diminish the role of it, which is what Betsy DeVos wants to do. In that regard, let me bring it back to you and phrase another question here to you based on that. If the federal government's role is diminished, of necessity, it means that the state role is increased. And if most of the states, which they really are, do recognize that the primary responsibility lies with the parents, there is an order there that I think our founders understood, and they actually kind of built that into the system. But from a biblical perspective, Steve, the Bible really is clear on the order of all of society, the role of the federal government, the role of the church, the role of the family, and that kind of thing, and as it comes to education. But from a biblical perspective, because you were an evangelist for many, many, many years, you know your Bible, you do a lot of preaching, what happens when a nation or a people disregards or rejects God's model as he's laid out, be it for marriage or be it for the family or be it for a nation? What happens? What's the result if people reject that?
Well, the scripture says that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. And so God's standard of life is built into the very nature of creation. You can't violate the laws of God and then not suffer the consequences. If you jump off a building that's 10 stories high, you can't violate the laws of gravity. It's going to pull you down. And the same thing is true in the laws of God in creation, that God has made man, and within that are built-in laws. And so you cannot violate the standards of God's principles and not, as a nation and as a people group, not suffer the consequences. So when we talk about God's judgment, it's in reality, it's a reaping and it's a sowing and reaping consequence. So if we sow in sinful, evil things, we will reap the judgment of God.
You know, Dr. Pettit, we were talking about the family, civil government, and the church's involvement in education. And here at Stand in the Gap today, we believe that in many ways the church and the family really have over the years surrendered education to government. And the question that I have for you in about a minute that we have left is, what can the church and the family do to bring the responsibility of education back to where it needs to be, in the home and in the church?
Well, I think, first of all, and I think you brought up a very important issue that even we face today in a higher Christian educational context, and that is, first and foremost, that our churches and our pastors have to teach the duty and responsibility of parents for the education of their own children. It's not just the church's responsibility. It's just not the government's responsibility. It's the parents' responsibility. I have four of my own children, and when we raise them up, we were first and foremost concerned about the kind of education that they got that taught them the truth of God and then gave them the skills to be able to go out and live in this world and have the right response to government. So first and foremost, it has to be taught from the pulpit by the pastors. And then secondly, there has to be the opportunity for parents to make the kind of choices where they can choose the right kind of education that will develop and nurture Christ-like character in their own personal lives.
Mm. Excellent, excellent. Dr. Steve Pettit, president of Bob Jones University, with us as special guest today. And we're talking about education. Here we're talking about responsibility. Who's responsible? What's primarily, biblically, the parent. The church has an interest, and so does the civil government, but it's got to be in the right order. We're now going to go in the next segment. We're going to talk about the purpose and the goal for education. Ever think about that? Why do you send your child to school to be educated? For what purpose? Very, very critical. We're going to talk about our founders' belief and what we should be doing now.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. 15,000 new border and immigration agents are being hired to help stop and go after illegal immigrants.
The guidance out from the Homeland Security Department does make it clear that those convicted of crimes will be at the top of the list, and those protected under DACA, children brought here by their parents, will remain protected. State and local law enforcement officials will be authorized to perform the functions of an immigration officer, and money will be allocated to build the southern border wall.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. President Trump says anti-Semitism is horrible and has to stop.
10 Jewish community centers from Texas to Ohio to Tennessee were the targets of bomb threats Monday, with the FBI and Department of Justice Civil Rights Division now investigating. In Missouri, dozens of headstones were also toppled over at a Jewish cemetery near St. Louis.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. Fox News. We report. You decide.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's family update. Perhaps the most moving moment at our Friends of the Family banquet last fall was hearing Baronelle Stutzman tell her story of prosecution and persecution because she chose to follow her faith in operating her florist business. You won't find a more loving person than Baronelle, a 72-year-old grandmother who has operated her florist business for decades. And yet she faces financial ruin thanks to the state of Washington and the ACLU going after her for choosing not to design and create floral arrangements for a same-sex wedding for a customer, one she had served for years and would still serve today. But she says participating in a same-sex ceremony is a violation of her Christian faith. She lost her appeal before the Washington State Supreme Court last week and now will appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. You can read more about her case and its implications for religious freedom at our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, if you're just joining us on Stand in the Gap Today, this is Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl. Today, and our special guest is Dr. Steve Pettit. He is the president of a 90-year-old Christian university, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, which also has associated with it a K-12 academy as well as a seminary. Now, in this segment, we're going to talk about the issue of the purpose and the goal for education. And those of you who are listening, I wondered if someone were to ask you right now, why did you send your child to school? Or what is the purpose of education? Could you answer that question? Well, frankly, it's a debated issue, but it really makes a fundamental difference whose purpose and whose goal is identified. At the beginning of our nation, a little bit of history here, education was very, very critically important. And it was one of the first obligations they believed that needed to be incorporated into a new nation established at that point, right after the time of the Pilgrims and the Puritans. In fact, the Puritans in the New England colonies did not start with establishing K-12 education. That came later with the New England Primer. They started out at a university level of instruction, which they did first in 1646 when they established Harvard University. And on this program, we've talked about that. We've made a point of saying that, in essence, those early godly settlers and founders felt as a matter of priority, it was more important to start the education process in this nation by training pastors, which was the purpose of the Harvards and the Yales, than it was actually for teaching children. Both important, but if you had a priority, they said start with training of pastors. Steve Pett, Dr. Pettit, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you agree with the founders' philosophy that training pastors to preach God's word was important and still should be important as a matter of primary emphasis in education?
Absolutely. When you consider the fact that the source of all knowledge and truth is God and His Word, then you need to have skilled men who are able to communicate God's Word effectively. And so through the preaching of the gospel, you come into the full knowledge of God and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, so that when you read the scriptures with a new heart and new life, then it can change and transform you into the image of Christ through the Word. And so a part of education is the ability to come to know God through the preaching of His Word.
You know, Dr. Pettit, recently we came across an article that dealt with the purpose of education in the 21st century. And the article actually started out by saying, and I quote, "This question came up when Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker recently tried to change the century-old mission of the University of Wisconsin by proposing to remove, and listen to this, by proposing to remove the words in the state code that commanded the university to search for truth and improve the human condition and replace those words with meet the state's workforce needs." Now think about that. To replace the words search for truth and improve the human condition with the phrase meet the state's workforce needs. Now, Dr. Pettit, of course, you're the president of an institution of higher learning. I don't know how you react to that. I'm kind of surprised that Scott Walker came out with that. I believe he claims to be a born-again Christian. I think he had a father who was a pastor. I may be wrong, but I think that. I'm surprised that he came out with that particular suggestion. But really, something like that completely changes the course of education and would do so not only in that state but across America if it continues to spread, would it not?
I agree 100%. To improve the human condition, you have to ask the question, well, how do you improve the human condition?
Right.
And of course, the improving of the human condition goes back to having a personal relationship with God as revealed in His Word through Jesus Christ. Let me give you just a little quote. It's very simple. Our founder, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., started Bob Jones University in 1927 out of two primary reasons. One was a personal reason. He had a son, and he was concerned that his son would have an education that had a biblical worldview to it that nurtured and developed character. So it's not just about head knowledge, but it's also about heart and life knowledge. Secondly, he started the school because he was concerned about the negative impact of secular and liberal education in the United States in the 1920s.
Wow.
One of the things he said is, at Bob Jones University, we do not teach you primarily how to make a living, but we teach you how to live, because Amazing. Character development is the foundation for work. And so if you reverse that order, in my estimation, it could lead to disaster.
Hmm. Well, and it really shows how, excuse me, Sam, really shows how secularism has crept in to education. And Dr. Pettit, I hate to say this, but in what I observe from some Christian universities today, secularism is creeping into them as well. I praise the Lord for the standard that you folks have taken. But do you agree with that observation that secularism is creeping into some Christian colleges and universities as well today?
Well, the Apostle Paul warned us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. He said, do not be conformed to this world. And I believe the conforming to the world primarily is the church yielding to the pressure of present-day society that is by its very nature anti-God, because the world is fallen man under the control of Satan, according to Ephesians chapter 2. So the church will always face the pressure of the world to conform to its standard, and the responsibility of the church is to stand for God's truth and God's standards. So there will always be a pressure and tension. We face it every single day at Bob Jones University.
Well, Steve, following up on that, so then what do you believe and what have you incorporated into Bob Jones University, BJU, relative to the purpose and the goal of education? And how are you describing it to students there now?
Well, it's very interesting that when the school was founded, as I mentioned, in 1927, the first thing the founder did is he wrote a 92-word creed. And that creed is basically the foundational truths of the Christian experience. And it was intended to be non-denominational. That is, these are the things that all people who are true believers actually believe. So at our core are eternal biblical truths that bring about the transformation of a new life and a new heart. Then at Bob Jones University, we are committed to an academically rigorous education in an environment that is built on the right kind of relationships between teachers and students. And we are designed to inspire and equip people to serve the church and impact the world for Christ. And so in order for us to do that, we emphasize, first of all, a biblical worldview that's integrated into everything we do. So within our, for example, within our science department, we have 22 PhDs who have degrees from all over the world, but all 22 of our science teachers, our professors, are six-day creationists. Hmm. So they believe God created the world, and that's at the very core of their foundation and teaching. So we have a biblical worldview and see life that way. And second, which by the way is the standards by which you're to live. And then secondly, we help mold and shape Christian character and Christian values in the life of our student body. So we have standards by which we live, and we hold our students accountable and responsible. Then we teach them how to do things with excellence, because the nature of our God is that He is excellent. He's morally excellent and mentally excellent. So that's the things that we emphasize. And then ultimately, we want our students to go out in the world not to serve themselves, but we want them to go out in the world and serve the Lord by serving and loving people.
Well, Steve, I think it's interesting because back to Harvard, 1646, they designed a plaque and they put it on the wall, which still hangs there, called the Rules and Precepts of Education. Let me read just briefly from it. It says this. This is the purpose that our founders established at Harvard for the purpose of education. They said this: let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well that the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. And it says, John 17:3, and it says, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning, and seeing the Lord only giveth wisdom, let everyone set himself by prayer in secret to take hold of him, Proverbs 2:3. Harvard, obviously, Steve, walked away from those goals a long time ago, and so has most of our educational systems across the country. In your opinion, why did that happen? Why did once we establish and then we walk away from it? And what's required if we're ever going to hope to see our nation reclaim and get back to these fundamental biblical purposes for education?
Well, I think every Christian university faces a pressure within its own day in which it's living to basically compromise Christian standards. And the reason why is because the world and fallen humanity is in antagonism against the truth. I think secondly, it is when the pulpits of the churches begin to weaken in their commitment to biblical inspiration in the preaching of God's truth, preaching the Bible as it is for men as they are. So the pulpits have to be strong, and there's always the temptation of pastors to compromise with the world, to make the gospel more palatable to human nature, when in reality, we are to preach the truth, and we are to pray and ask God to do his miraculous work in bringing people to saving faith. So we're to do what Paul said in Ephesians 6 to do in Ephesians 6, and that is we are to stand.
And that is what our program's called, Stand in the Gap, today on this program and what the American Pastors Network is all about. Steve, you've talked a little bit about excellence. You've talked about standards. You've talked about character. When we come back, I want to get a little bit more specific and have you explain to us a little bit about how BJU actually accomplishes and builds into the lives of the students matters of character and matters of excellence. How do you actually do that in these days when it's so desperately, desperately needed and so few are doing it? So think about that when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to continue with Dr. Steve Pettit and answer that very much question. How do they actually build in character?
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Without God, liberty will not last. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
I'm Jan Mark Hill, helping you understand the time.
It helps us maintain an Israel-centric prophetic grid. The purpose of the clock is to help us process the prophetic information in a biblical way and to understand it the way God intends for it to be by keeping Israel in the center.
In 1948, God's prophetic calendar began its countdown to fulfilling Bible prophecy. When Israel became a nation, it started in motion God's time clock. The world stage is being set for a world dictator, a one-world
government system and World War III that will be fought in the Middle East. God's Word tells us that Israel will be the center of all of this, and in the end, God comes to her rescue. For Christians, it is important that we don't lose our support for Israel. God has not abandoned his promises to her. In fact, Israel is the main character in his final chapter of human history. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
The matter of education really is probably most important to probably most who are listening to this program. It seems that, the education of our children is critical for those who are parents, for employers. Education and to have educated workforce is something obviously that is very, very critical. We spend billions upon billions of dollars a year in education, yet in many cases you talk to the average person, they say Johnny or Susie just doesn't show up for work on time whatever, but matters of character often. And Dr. Steve Pettit, president of Bob Jones University, you were saying earlier that the real mission of the university from 90 years ago was to actually build matters of integrity and excellence into young people at that point in time, because the then president, Bob Jones Sr., actually was seeing a humanistic inroad into the church, and it was pulling them astray. You've talked about the fact that the university actually addresses this issue. I'd like you to be just a bit more practical right now. How do you actually build in character into the lives of K to 12 students and university students? How do you actually do that? What are you looking for as outcomes from students who come out of Bob Jones University?
Well, Sam, I think two quick things. Number one is you get what you expect and you get what you inspect. And that really are two key things at the university. And when we think about discipline, the first really most important aspect of discipline, or one of the key aspects, is the discipline of the mind. And that is that you have high academic standards in your classroom that makes the student work. If he can get through the class and it's an easy class and there's no work involved, then we're not really helping them. So the first is a high academic standards by which they're going to have to discipline their life and get their life in order. Secondly, we have a code of conduct, which is a discipline of your lifestyle. And so when the students come, we have high expectations. There are things that they can do. There are things they can't do. And that is a part of a code of ethics as a Christian, because the Christian life begins with the personal relationship with Jesus Christ and a knowledge of God. But that knowledge, or you could say that faith in God's truth, is going to issue in the transformation of one's life. And the Bible's very clear what that life looks out like. So our code of conduct is based on biblical truth and biblical principles that we hold our students accountable to. And then in order for people to be disciplined, they have to be put in responsibilities of leadership. And so we have all kinds of different opportunities, leadership opportunities, both on campus and off campus, through all kinds of service opportunities. You know, when you have to live for yourself, you usually are not as disciplined. But when you live for others, it makes an entire difference in the person's life. So those are some very practical things that we do at school.
Amen. You know, Dr. Pettit, I've got really a twofold question, if you don't mind. First of all, in this age of postmodernism and secular humanism creeping into the Christian community along with relative truth, in a practical sense, how does BJU emphasize absolute truth as the antidote to the cultural norm of moral relativism? And in addition to that, what do you do there at the university, through the academy as well as right up through the seminary, to support and to teach and promote a biblical worldview? And the reason I asked that second part of the question is, a couple of years ago, I took a survey of Christian schools in our area and asked, do you teach the biblical worldview? And they all said yes. But when I began to ask them why, they were falling far short. So, you know, the two components of this question is how do you emphasize absolute truth and then support the concept of the biblical worldview amongst the students?
Well, I think, first of all, we have in our very core documents of our institution a commitment to the authority and inspiration of the Bible and a creed that basically testifies to the doctrinal truths of salvation. So we have a board, we have a very committed board that is held, that holds true to that commitment. So there's a commitment on the part of our board, on our administration, and then our professors. You cannot work here if you do not hold those positions. And so we hold our entire faculty and staff to these positions. Secondly, all of our classes are thoroughly integrated with a biblical worldview in every single area. So this is a commitment level of all of our professors. And then we believe that God changes people through the preaching of His Word. And so we have chapel 4 days a week. We take chapel seriously. We believe it's the most important thing of the day within our student body. And so our entire chapel plus faculty and staff gather together 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, to hear sound, solid, biblical exposition that's challenging. And that is a very core of what we do. And then I think the other one, as I mentioned earlier, is just a commitment to a code of conduct that is consistent with New Testament biblical principles.
Steve, you referenced earlier that you mentioned impacting the culture for Christ. We are in a time where the church, the pulpits have gone silent by and large. We know that less than 30% of the pulpits of America actually believe in the authority of Scripture. And there is very little teaching relative to really impacting the culture for Christ. How do you lay the challenge before the students there at the university from the standpoint of impacting the culture for Christ? What are you telling them they need to do and why they need to do it?
Well, I think we don't just tell them what they need to do, but we actually provide the opportunities to do it. So through the way we are structured here, for example, we have a center here for global opportunities that reaches out locally, nationally, and globally. And we have hundreds of our students out on all kinds of opportunities within the upstate of South Carolina, whether it's detention centers, community centers, nursing homes, public schools, parks. We have students everywhere that are spread out, spreading the gospel, serving the community, loving people, giving of themselves sacrificially. So that is a part of the educational process here. And we just over and over and over emphasize the authority of the Scriptures, that God has revealed Himself in its finality in the Word of God. And so that's just the very core of who we are. And it would be very easy for any school to just drift. Drift is the big problem that we face, and we have to daily, just like every other school that's going to be true, we have to be faithful, we have to stand, and we have to hold true to God's Word.
Well, you know, I certainly do appreciate what you do down there, Dr. Pettit. And I'm wondering if you would just in these last 40 or 45 seconds close us in prayer, as we've been doing that on the program for a couple of months now. Please close us in prayer and particularly focus on the concept of biblical education, if you would, please.
I'd be glad to. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are this day for the fact that you have given to us your word, and your word is truth revealed to man. Thank you that you have given us your son, Jesus, who lived as a man and yet 100% God. Thank you that he died and rose from the dead, and now he's alive, living in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you've established your church in the world to change the world through the preaching of the gospel. And so, Lord, we pray for you to help us to be faithful and to raise our children, that they would live for you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dr. Steve Pettit, president of Bob Jones University. Very, very quickly, where do some people go to find out about the university? The website, please?
Website, yes, is bju.edu. Come and visit us. Everybody that comes here always says the same thing. We had no idea what this place was like until we got here, and they found the place. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today on Stand in the Gap today. Join us tomorrow, 23 hours from now. Our guest will be Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, and Gary and I will be talking with him about prophetical issues of the day.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is